Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Hotbed Podcast, brought to you by the Hotbed Collective. I'm Lisa Williams.
And I'm Aniki Somerville.
And we are two of a gang of merry maidens, hell-bent on making the world a better place, one orgasm at a time. We started this podcast because we realised, one, that there's an orgasm gap between men and women, with the biggest gap landing between heterosexual men and heterosexual and bisexual women. And two, because we realise that no one talks about normal everyday sex. There's lots of chat about dating sex and extreme sex. We call it dungeon sex. But who's talking about normal everyday sex? You know, the kind that doesn't happen every day. So we're here and we are talking, and we hope you enjoy the ride.
Hi, we're the Hotbed Collective. This is series 4 of our podcast, and this is episode 1, which is Help, My Vulva is Broken.
First of all, before we start, I'd like to say that we don't always talk about sex after kids, and we know that a lot of our listeners don't have children, but a lot of them do, and not all of this series is going to be about sex after kids, but this episode is, and there's a very good reason for that. Why is that, Aniki? Why are we talking about sex after kids?
Well, I guess... Because I've just had a baby fairly recently.
Oh, no big deal. So
no big deal. So that was, I think we're in week 12 in the Big Brother house now, in the Big Bubba house. And so it felt like quite a good timely coincidence. And also the fact that we could have mother of daughters on, who's obviously very much in that kind of parenting sphere, and she's a midwife. So it felt like the stars were kind of aligned. But you're right, obviously we're not always going to talk about parents and shagging or no shagging.
So I know you had a baby and then you thought, how can I get some free advice from mother of daughters / Clemmie Hooper? I know, let's interview her for a podcast. Is that kind of how
that
it
was
worked?
Kind of it, yeah. It's really funny because you probably had this as well, because obviously you had baby Joe a year ago, didn't it? Just mm-hmm. over a year ago. It kind of, because there was quite a big age gap between my first daughter and my second, you forget. You're almost like you go back to the beginning again. And there were even things that I found, like, have you heard of such a thing as a sitz bath?
Nope.
So, no, I hadn't either. But this time I did have, well, both times I had a bit of a tear. Mm. That's a bit of an underestimation. It makes it sound quite pleasant, but it wasn't. No one told me about what you do afterwards. So, And I find there is a bit of a gap in terms of they send you home with the baby and you're booked in to sort of see a midwife. Well, I think it was for a 6-week checkup. Mm. But actually, they didn't really tell me that when I got home, I was going to have to take care of my vulva and what to do to take care of it. And so essentially, I was kind of left in this awful quandary where I was in quite a lot of pain and couldn't really even sit down. Mm. So luckily, Instagram's a lovely community and I tend to overshare. So people did help me with suggestions. And I pronounce it right. Sitz bath is something you put in the toilet so that you can kind of sit in it and it becomes like a bidet. The other thing is Epsom salts, because if you've had stitches, essentially you just need to keep it clean as possible. And I'm being really gruesome here, but basically, obviously, if you're bleeding and if you're doing a number two, that's quite a challenge to try to have a wound there that you're trying to keep clean. So I learned a lot about kind of how to look after it. And Epsom salts became my sort of best friend, really, for a couple of weeks.
Let's take out some shares in Epsom salts, because I think they're good for all kinds of vulvanic problems.
Activities.
I think so. Because someone said apparently if you've got an itchy vaginary, vulvary area, to just have a soak in a Epsom salt bath. And my friend, who's a doctor, was saying that when her daughter has an itchy fanny, she said, I've got an itchy fanny.
Sorry.
Sorry, we've also got Ray here, who is Aniki's biggest daughter, and just she's listening to something on headphones, but yeah, she did so just turn around when I said itchy fanny.
She did a little cough.
But anyway, apparently in the middle of the night, daughter gets dunked in a bath of Epsom salts and it's very soothing.
Yeah, it's really good for muscle pain as well. Mm. And I was going to ask you actually, because obviously you had cesarean section, didn't you? And there must be ways that you need to recover from that, because that's a whole other kettle of lard, isn't it?
It's the whole kettle of lard. I had to not carry anything. And you can't carry anything heavier than your baby because of the stitches tearing.
So what do you do with buggies and stuff? Because obviously the first couple of weeks, there's a lot of kind of carting buggies in and out of houses, isn't there?
Yeah, I just sort of invoked my inner kind of Barbara Cartland and reclined on a sofa and ordered people about around me. And what's funny is my kids are now 3.5 and 1, and I still act like Barbara Cartland. Mm. So if I'm with my sister or my partner, they automatically carry stuff for me because it's obviously like set in their head that I'm Barbara Cartland. Mm. And I sometimes then have to remind myself that I'm no longer Barbara Cartland and I can carry stuff myself. But yeah, people around you have to be very sweet. But you should get moving. You can't just lie down. You actually do have to start walking. And I remember it's a bit like getting a little puppy where you have to walk them a little bit every day and a bit longer and a bit longer. And it was like that. And I remember walking to the end of the road was a very big deal.
It's funny because I'm reading this book at the moment, This Is Going to Hurt, which is like the memoirs of a junior doctor. And he works on
Adam Kay, yeah.
Yeah, he works on a labour ward. So it's quite funny now to be reading it. Well, funny stroke weird, because he talks a lot about kind of tears and cesareans, but from a doctor's perspective. And it's... yeah, it's pretty amazing, but it's also quite mind-boggling. And the other thing that it made me realise is just how lucky you are to get out of the whole experience with a tear, or, you know, with that being the only thing really that's gone wrong.
Now, listeners, if you don't already follow us on Instagram, we're at The Hotbed Collective, and we recommend that you join our merry gang. We have a few lols there, do we not? Emoji-based lols. But also follow Aniki Somerville, at Aniki Somerville, because she does very funny Instagram stories about how her night's gone with no sleep. And you haven't taken it too seriously, because obviously sleep deprivation is one of the worst things that can happen. Definitely one of the worst things that happened to me. Hormones surging around your body. I think mine are still kicking around and making me a bit of a moody cow. But you're being very funny about it.
It's the only thing that, it's not the only thing, but I found this time around, because I think when Ray was born, Instagram wasn't really a thing, and this time obviously it is. And at night, your phone is just the perfect sort of thing that you can get out, and it seems really sad, but it's actually a bit of company for me. And then luckily I've had quite a few people who've had babies similar time, and they've sort of contacted me and said, oh, you know what, just seeing these silly stories and the silly pictures and movies and things you've put on has made me feel slightly better. I really do. I mean, I think it is one of the most difficult things, and I don't know why that is, but I think it's just, it is, it's the hormones, it's everything. And this time I've had a lot more anxiety, and I don't know whether that's been caffeine fueled or age related or hormones or just all
of the above
in a perfect storm.
Well, you're doing really well, and if you're not, then that's fine. It's a very tough thing. You're nearly through it. Like 12 weeks is a turning point.
Yeah.
And luckily, like you say, there's lots of community out there. So listeners, in our show notes, we'll put lots of information and places to go for information about post-birth recovery and places where you can make friends and find people that are going through the same thing. And Clemmie Hooper has lots to say about this. And she was really wonderful. And I loved talking to her. And I can see from meeting her why she has made a great midwife, but also a really good kind of media personality, Instagram personality, because she's very warm, open. And she was really great fun to chat to. Clemmie Hooper, mother of daughters. Lovely to have you here in the hotbed. Thank you for joining us in bed.
Thanks. I wish we were in bed.
What do you wear in bed? Are you in pyjamas? Are you a nightie?
Pyjamas in the winter and nightie in the summer.
Yes. And nighties ride up for me.
Oh,
too
you've
much.
Got to go long.
Yes.
Long and cotton. Last year, I discovered the M&S nightie. They brought out last year this like pure white cotton nightie that I think I saw Jules Oliver post about. And I was like, well, if it's good enough for Jules. And it comes past your knees and it is absolutely gorgeous. It's so pretty. It was about £12 and it came in two slightly different styles, and I bought one of each. I remember last time we had that heat wave, it was boiling, and just putting on that in the evening and like no knickers.
Oh, and just floating around.
Just like floating around and feeling really like whimsical. Just love it.
It sounds like the kind of thing you could just sort of waft about the house in with a sort of fan and maybe some poetry.
I mean, and also £12.
Ah, bargain.
Yeah, no polyester, like, what, when no you take
static,
them off.
Yeah, oh, static shock, hair on end. So you're wearing that.
But and pyjamas in, top and bottoms in the wind.
Yeah, I'm a pyjama girl as well. So Clemmie Hooper, if you don't know her, I'm sure you do, and Anarchy and I have just talked about her, has a wonderful Instagram, Mother of Daughters, and also a website, which is how she sort of, I suppose, became a media personality, and it's Gas and Air.
Yeah.
And it's Frank Birth Stories, which I think you started as a way of combating a lot of the kind of stressful births that we see on screen and that might put women off. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the blog started when I was on maternity leave after my second daughter about 8 years ago, and I was a bit bored. Second time maternity leave is very different to first time. I was enjoying being on maternity leave, but I definitely felt like I had this kind of like creative side of me that I wanted to do something. And lots of people would ask me, so like all my like mum friends would ask me, oh, what about this and what about this? And I was like, oh, why do they only ask, why aren't they like referring to websites or books or stuff? And I did a bit of research, and there wasn't really anything present at the time, and blogs were just creeping in. Like there was I think there was Instagram, but I wasn't on Instagram. I joined Twitter and I set up this blog called Gas and Air. And it was just me sharing experiences of being a midwife, really. And then a little bit of mothering and motherhood came into it because I was in motherhood. And I think about a year into my blog, I wrote a birth story, one of my birth stories. I had an induction with my second daughter, but I had a water birth. So it was a really positive birth. And the response was just really overwhelming, and people just really wanted to read more and hear more. And I just put a shout out, I think, on Twitter and said, does anyone want to send me their birth story? Photos would be lovely. And it was at a time where One Born Every Minute was being shown, Channel 4, I think. And the opening sequence of One Born Every Minute is the sound of a woman screaming and a woman being pushed on a trolley and being rushed down a corridor, and alarms going off and midwives running around, really high drama and really quite stressful. And I just thought, if I was pregnant and I was watching that on a Thursday evening and I was going to be due to have a baby soon, like how would that impact me and my thoughts? So through time, I received more and more. And it was just about talking about birth, and I think that was the biggest thing. I wanted women to be honest and to feel that they could safely share their stories, and that was how the blog sort of really took off, I guess. It was in the second year of the blog that it started getting loads of traction, and some posts went viral, and I shared, I think, a woman who'd had a term stillbirth in Holland, and she told this beautiful birth story, and she emailed me saying, oh, I don't know if it's something you could use. And I said, well, it's still birth, it's still your baby being born.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
share it. And then I think people got a bit braver and started sending me so that's how it all started.
And it's just been redone, and you're also launching a podcast.
So it's
exciting times.
Busy so the blog, I had a bit of a sort of hiatus from it. I had a book deal, so I was writing my book, and I had the twins, and I just had no, I mean, it's just so difficult when you're writing a book, because your entire energy goes into this book, and I had these newborn twins, so the blog naturally just took a kind of back burner, and that was fine. And then I sort of lost a bit of like confidence with it, and thought, oh, where do I want to go with it? And I thought, well, no one's reading blogs anymore because everyone wants Instagram. But actually, what I was finding, that during that time when my blog was, you know, put to bed, that a whole world on Instagram was growing, and more midwives were talking about birth, and more obstetricians, and women were talking about pelvic floors and all these topics. I was like, where were you guys 8 years ago? And it's amazing. And I feel like it's almost come back. So I decided to relaunch it. It relaunched in January with I've got like a little team, mm-hmm. which is really nice, actually.
Oh. I think a big turning point for me, actually, and this is another thing that you talk about, is pelvic floor. So actually, yeah. when I sorted out my pelvic floor both times yeah. after both children, that did make a difference, because I found that something like having, like wetting myself a bit because I couldn't get to the loo on time, which is often quite difficult when you've got a baby to get to the loo on time.
Very.
It's like this sort of bad timing, really, isn't it? So that was obviously horrible.
Yeah.
And then if sex hurt, which it did both times, before I got the pelvic floor sorted. And then when I did, it was just, I don't know, that was a good start for me. It's been a good start, actually, yeah.
I guess you're like owning your body again, aren't you? And I think with identity, you know, so much is on the surface area, but actually it's much more deep rooted than that. I think a loss of identity for me, I always found looking back, it's fascinating. But at the time I remember being furious that my husband, you know, we just had this baby or the second baby, whatever. And it happened actually with every baby we've had. So it doesn't really change that I would have gone through this huge, like monumental moment. I've carried and I've given birth. Mm. Like that in itself is life changing. Mm-hmm. And now I'm breastfeeding these babies, our children, which again always blows my mind mm-hmm. that you give birth and then your breasts fill with milk and you feed your baby. Mm. And then 2 weeks later, he pops on his bike and cycles off to work. Like, and I just remember
something that's happened. Oh, I guess what's happened is they've slept in a chair overnight.
Pretty much. It's like, and I used to just think, men, I don't think, well, because they don't carry the baby, they don't give birth physically, I don't think they have that same connection or disconnection with how becoming a mother changes you.
Mm. Now, Clemmie, let's talk fannies, fanny chat.
It's my favourite subject.
Fannies. Now, you've seen fannies. You've seen a lot of vulvas, a lot of vaginas in your work as a midwife, which I love. And there's something very reassuring about being with medical people because, I mean, my GP is a man, for example. He's probably younger than me. And when I first saw him, because he changed, he was new, I looked at him and I thought, well, you're 12 years old. And you're a boy, and there's no way. And actually,
had to show him your vagina?
Yeah, loads of times. And, you know, he's actually amazing because he's seen, you know, he's gone through medical school, he's seen it all. He is probably older than I give him credit for. He's not 12. But actually, there's something very reassuring about
Is he good looking?
I mean, he could be a certain, you know, a certain woman's taste. Luckily, I'm not, you know, he's
that
not my
could
type.
Be awkward.
He's very lovely, though, and he's very sweet to the children. But he, yeah, there's just something reassuring about, look, I know I can talk to you about this problem because you've seen it all. And certainly with midwives as well, you know, you just feel like you've seen it all. And I loved what you did on your Instagram when you talked about vulvas and different shapes and looks and how, like, the inner lips can sometimes be out, sometimes they can be in, they can be different lengths. And you did a kind of, it was quite a nice thing. Is it in your highlights?
So yeah, it is. I think I've highlighted it as Fanny Chat.
Fanny Chat.
I just couldn't think of another. I know, like, in terms of technically we should be saying vulva and your vagina is the internal bit, but I felt fanny was a good one. Yeah, I did. Do you know what? That was just on a Friday evening. Someone had shared a very, you know, that like 10-year challenge thing.
Yes.
That people were doing in must be January.
Yes, I think it was.
And someone shared one that someone else had shared, and it was all like 10 years ago. And it was an illustration of a very neat looking vulva, and then 10 years later and it looked very different, and there was, you know, lots of people laughing about it. And, you know, I have got a sense of humour. I can find things funny. But the girl that sent it to me, she was a young girl, she hadn't had children, and she said, well, my vulva looks like the one on the right and I'm only like 22 or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I just said, and I get a lot of DMs, and some I respond to and some I just can't. And I just thought, hang on a minute. What's going on here? Mm. What is this making women feel? Mm. And just a little bit of research, and there's some brilliant accounts on Instagram. And I just started saying, there was basically a brilliant article written in, I think it was Cosmopolitan, not sure if it was UK or US-based, but they basically showed, say, 8 different illustrations of a vulva. Mm. And I just was like, this is normal, and this one's normal, and this one's normal, and hey, that one's normal. And I was just like, guys, we really need to stop shaming our anatomy. Mm. Men don't do that. Mm-mm.
Not at all. And if they do, or if we do, it's the sort of short dick jokes, which actually aren't they? They're not very fashionable anymore, are they?
No.
And actually people like Dr. Karen Gurney, who we deal with quite a lot, say, you know, actually think about that kind of joke. Is it appropriate? Would you like people to be joking about the size of your boobs or whatever? So
exactly.
It's kind of not cool.
No.
On either sides. I mean, porn, that has a role, does it not?
Porn's got a massive role. I haven't seen much porn. Like, I don't watch it regularly.
No.
but I have watched some porn. Mm. And I just find it, maybe I just haven't found the right porn for me. Who knows? Maybe I need to do some more porn exploring. But I just don't. Well, the women don't look like me, for a start. Mm. They look very young, mm-hmm. which I don't find... I just find that quite uncomfortable. Mm. They're always completely shaved. Mm. And their vulvas look how I think men think they should look, which is very perfect and everything's very neat. Mm. And to me, I think that looks quite childlike and not necessarily very true of how we look as women. And I think there's a lot of women that think that childbirth or having children changes the shape of a vulva and internally a vagina, which, yes, it does. But there are many women pre-children whose labias are maybe a bit longer than these porn images. And I think that's really important because as if there isn't enough to worry about when you're giving birth or having a baby, that women worrying about their bodies changing.
Yeah.
You know, our vulvas are very private, aren't they? It's sort of this little area that we don't really talk about. It's just tucked in and...
You can't even really see it. I mean
it just goes round.
You have to kind of use a mirror, you know, which is very like 70s feminist. Yeah. But in general...
I mean, it's
like
very close to your anus, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, again, that's sort of like an area of, you know... I don't know. That's an area that women don't really talk about, do they?
No.
I mean, women don't know where their perineums are.
Oh, so is that what you discover when you're midwifing?
Yeah. You know, when I'm talking to women about perineal massage or if I'm talking... I really like women to try and explain things to me in their terms. So if they come in labour, and I'll say to them, where are you feeling that? Or how does that feel? Or is the contraction there or there? And because that can be like give you kind of clues kind of to progression in labour as a midwife or position a baby and things. Oh, down there. And I'm like, whereabouts is it? Mm. Is it at the front of your vagina or your, especially for delivery, I think there's a lot of fear around that feeling when the baby's head's coming out. Mm. So things like perineum, they're like, you know, you hear women like, oh, I ripped from front to back. Mm. And then actually when you explore that a little bit, no, you didn't. I mean, that is something that can happen. It's called a fourth degree tear. It's very serious, has to be sutured in theatre with a spinal. You have to have a lot of physio afterwards. Mm. It's interesting that women, they're just not used to touching themselves down there. I sometimes think maybe men know our anatomy better than we do.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I mean, they certainly, if you're not masturbating, but you are having sex, then absolutely. Well,
especially for oral sex.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, they have to be right down there
They've seen it. Yeah. They're touching it, they're feeling it. So let's talk about midwife work and specifically about the aftermath of birth and the effect that that can have on a woman's vulva, vagina, tearing, etc. What are the most common problems that you see as a midwife, or that you know, what are they?
Well, after they've given birth with their vaginas and vulvas.
Yes.
I would say infected stitches. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Mm. Incontinence, or just not total incontinence, but a feeling like you haven't got quite as much control, which is normal and totally can be fixed. Mm. And I think women put up with it for too long. Mm. And perineal pain, pain when women are having sex. Mm-hmm. It's quite a few. I mean, I work on labour wards, so we don't have... When I used to work in community, I could see women for longer, but we still have some women coming back in with thinking that their stitches have broken down and things haven't healed properly.
So there presumably are some red flags to look out for.
Yeah.
So any sort of pain presumably is a bad, you know, something you should get checked out.
Definitely. I mean, you're going to have pain and discomfort or bruising, whether or not you've had stitches or not, if you've given birth vaginally, because that muscle has stretched and the tissues have stretched to allow a baby's head to come out. So it is normal to be, I mean, you wouldn't be able to sit on these stools the day after you've had a baby comfortably. But I think what women really need to know is what long-term isn't acceptable,
right,
and what needs to be checked. And you don't have to wait till your 6-week checkup to see your GP. Mm-hmm. If you're suffering and your baby's only 3 or 4 weeks old and you are in pain and you're still needing regular painkillers because your perineum is really hurting, go sooner. Don't always wait for that 6-week checkup. And a lot of the time you can't get the 6-week checkup at 6 weeks. You know, if your GP is very busy.
Oh gosh, yes.
I mean, that's very, very normal. You may not be until 8 weeks. And then you've been suffering for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, early referrals is really, really important as well. You can see a woman's physio, you know, by a month.
And you've seen one recently.
Yes, I have.
How was that experience?
That was 3 years later, so.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, you know, if that's an example of how you should go sooner.
Well, I saw one last summer at the Havelock Clinic, which is where Dr. Karen Gurney works. And she said, come and have a mummy MOT, which I actually recorded for the Hotbed. And it may come out as a bonus episode. I'm not sure.
How did you find it?
Absolutely fine. I mean, she was so lovely. It's Emma, It was Sarah, and I can't pronounce her surname, but I'll put her name in the show notes. But she's a brilliant women's health physio. She's on Instagram. And she was just so kind and really talked me through everything and gave me really good kind of rehab moves and things. But, you know, this is, again, I've got such a privilege of doing this podcast because I'm learning so much and trying to share it. But actually, I wouldn't have known about a women's health physio if it hadn't been for this.
So a women's health physio you can access through your GP, which is, and then you have to be referred. So anyone can access that. I ended up seeing one privately. Someone that I actually know that I'm working with, and she always said, like, oh, you should come and have a MOT. And I was thinking, yeah. And then I just thought, oh, I've just got to make the time. It was quite a way. It was out in Surrey, and I live in Kent, so it was a bit of a way away. But I thought, well, if I can make time to have my hair cut or have a pedicure.
Oh, it's so true.
I need to make time for this. I mean, it's those things, isn't it? And
definitely.
I think that's a lot of the perception that, you know, on the outside we look fine, don't we? You're not wearing a nappy today, are you?
I'm not today.
And we look fine and we've got makeup on and we're wearing nice clothes. But actually what's happening internally?
Yeah.
So I went to see her and it was absolutely brilliant. And she already forewarned me that that I'd need an internal. So that was fine. And I knew that I'd be on my period that week. And I sort of said, oh, I'm going to be on my period. And she said, well, if you want to rearrange. And I thought, oh, shall I rearrange? I thought, no, I'm not going to rearrange because I'll never rearrange. I think rearranging something if you've cancelled is the hardest thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, no, I'm going to come. And I didn't mind. So it was really interesting. And I had an internal and it was fine. And you know, I think she thought, she was like, oh, do you mind? And I was like, I don't mind. And obviously she's seen enough vaginas and vulvas. So between us, we were like, come on, let's get this on. But I learned loads more than I knew. Absolutely tons more. That I was doing my pelvic floor slightly wrong, which she said was really common. It's not as bad as I thought it was all going to be down there. She was going to tell me I've got like a stage 4 prolapse and I haven't, that I can continue running, which was something that I'm really pleased about. But the best thing was I've just started reformer Pilates, which I've never done before. I've done Pilates, but not reformer. I started it just this week. And I think, you know, these things can be fixed, as you know, but it takes time and it's a process. And I would recommend anyone who's having any pelvic floor issues, urinary incontinence, to go and see a women's physio.
Yeah, because it's not normal and it's not anything that you have to put up with. I mean, it's normal because it happens, but it's not, incontinence isn't something that you have to put up with.
And
it's fine to laugh it off, but it's not.
It's not funny, is it?
Yeah.
I really want to change that culture of,
Yeah.
That brand that sell those pants or pads. Moments.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be, you know, a grandmother and not be able to play with my kids. I don't want to do
No.
Have to wear pads.
No, it's all about being able to get on the trampoline.
Absolutely.
And not feel like you're going to cause some kind of flood warning.
Gosh.
Anarchy has a question for you. I'm going to call this one in on Anarchy because it is not my question.
Yeah.
She wondered whether it was true that in France, yeah, women have more stitches after birth as a gift to their husbands. Is this true? Have you heard of this? Such an Anarchy question. Oh, I love it.
I've not heard about this, but I do know in France that they are definitely much more invested in women's vulvas, well, vaginas in pregnancy and postnatally. So I've heard from women who have given birth in France that during your pregnancy, you have a lot of internals with a doctor. Mm. You don't have midwives in France. You have a doctor.
Mm.
And they will do an internals throughout your pregnancy. And then post-delivery, you have women's physios. So you have, you see a woman's physio and they teach you properly how to do pelvic floor exercises, how to do them correctly, which we don't have.
And sex after kids, we talk about this a lot because we say, isn't it funny that you get your kind of all clear at 6 weeks and then it's almost as if you're expected to then leap back into sex, you know, into bed again and have great sex. Doesn't really work like that, does it?
No, not at all. I think it takes a long time. Sex after kids, it's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? I think for a start, I think the first time I had sex after I'd had a baby, it was more just to check that everything was okay in there.
Yeah.
I don't particularly remember feeling it pleasurable. I think it was just like something we had to do to make sure it was all okay. I probably said, does it feel different? Is it bigger? And I think probably my husband was like, could you just maybe shush? Maybe not kind of ruin this for me. You know, your boobs, if you're breastfeeding, are just like, oh, I think I kept my bra on. It's all just, it's a bit like the first time you have sex, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I do remember remembering to get lots of lubrication because I was breastfeeding and I remember thinking, I'm so grateful I did because you're naturally very dry when you're breastfeeding and because of the hormones. So, yeah, but I think the thing is, you want to get your sex life back, but in that first year, I mean, I've got friends that didn't have sex for the first year, and I think that's really normal and nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-mm.
And if you factor in every reason why, you're up breastfeeding or bottle feeding, you might be bleeding, you're so sleep deprived, you may be sharing different beds with your husband, which I think is very normal when you've got a baby in your bed, your husband's awfully booted off to the sofa or the spare room.
Mm.
You haven't actually got, in my head, I never had the capacity to look at my husband and just fancy him again. You know, those spontaneous moments you had pre-kids where you would have a shag on the sofa like after work or morning sex. Look at us both lusting after.
I know.
Morning sex on a Sunday was the best, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Slightly hungover maybe.
Yeah, and it's sort of like a way of just slowly waking up and kind of, you don't need to leave the bedroom.
That to me is the best sex. Because you've had a sleep,
yeah,
and you're at the start of the day and you have a really great shag and then you have breakfast and you're like, oh, what should we do today? And now you're woken up by, well, I don't know what time you're woken up, 6:30 this morning, the twins trotted in.
6:15.
Hear the puppy crying. Your brain automatically goes, what am I doing today? I need to get that train. I need to get the children ready. I need to take the puppy out for a wee. I mean, there is nothing sexy, is there?
No.
I mean, I'm having a shower. My husband's going for a wee. Like, it's all, it's like, there is, you have to find, well, for us as a couple, we have to find that space. And it often is phoning my mum and saying, can you have the kids for a night? We might just, I think we're going to go and stay at a hotel. And as much as that sounds really planned and organised, that's how
it has to be done. And actually, this leads me on to my last question, which is like sex in a house when you've got older children. Because we have a lot of, you know, we talk a lot about when the babies are little and waking you up. But actually,
yeah,
it must be a big deal when they're old enough to come and open your door.
And hear you.
And hear you. How awkward.
You all remember your parents. Do you remember hearing your parents have sex?
I don't remember hearing. I'm sure I walked in and saw some kind of configuration under a duvet.
Like, oh, what are you doing, Daddy?
Exactly.
Yes. So my older daughter goes to bed a bit later now because she's 11 and she'll stay up in her bedroom and read. Yeah, there is that. I mean, the fact that she is embarrassed entirely and all the time by me. I mean, I'm so tragic, she said to me the other day.
And I was tragic. Like, oh, that's a burn.
I was just dancing in the kitchen, cooking dinner, and she came home with a friend, and her friend was actually quite like amused by it. But obviously, it's always more embarrassing when it's your friend. She was like, "Mum, you're so tragic," and I was like, "Oh,
harsh."
And I was like, "I'm not actually that tragic." You know, when you're trying to like look.
I'm actually a cool mum.
I'm really cool. Like I wear leopard print. I'm really.
That's like, do you know Kathy Lett? She's an Australian novelist.
Yes, yeah,
so
yeah.
She has a great quote, which is, living with a teenage daughter is like living with the Taliban. You're not allowed to wear short skirts, laugh or dance. Look, sleep or sex, both of them for me are amazing.
It's very tricky, isn't it, when you have to make that choice. We all do it, don't we?
We do, but I sort of think sleep... If you have the sleep, you're more likely to feel horny the next day because it does affect your sex drive, apparently. And if you have sex or a wank, you're more likely to sleep better. So it's a bit chicken and egg, but I kind of go for whatever. Either one is amazing.
I always find that, you know, when it's very long overdue, the sex, and you've had maybe a period or maybe another period, and you think...
Yes.
And it's, I always find it's when my husband says... you've had a period and we haven't, like, when they've noticed the cycle.
Yes.
And you're thinking, oh yeah, we should schedule this in. And you just sometimes, I don't know, we know that the less sex you have, the less you want it. And then you have sex and you're like, that was really nice.
So pleased I did that.
I really love you and I really appreciate you and... Oh my God, you've emptied the dishwasher. Let's have sex again. And it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like we put it off.
We do. And it's almost when I'm getting more annoyed and naggy and irritated that I'm like, I just need a shag. I need a good old thing to.
You need
I'll be
a row and a shag.
A row and a shag. Yeah, it's a great cycle to get into.
It would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And then a sleep.
And then a sleep.
Well,
yeah.
We're all sorted. That's like the best recipe. That's a happy marriage, a happy partnership.
Yeah, I think rowing is really important, actually. My husband doesn't like rowing. He likes having sex. He doesn't like having a row.
It's give and take.
Yeah, but I then don't like the little comments.
Yeah, it's better just to have it out, for sure.
For fuck's sake, I asked it. Like, my husband forgot to get nappies yesterday. I was working yesterday and the twins came in this morning. I'm sure every parent's been there. And they were like, oh, they were still wear a pull up at night. And they were like, we got wet pajamas. And I was thinking, oh God, he put them in a swim nappy because he'd forgotten to get the nappies and it was too late. And I was half laughing, but I was half annoyed that he forgot because I said to him yesterday, don't forget to get pull ups. We're down to the last one.
And everyone knows that swim nappies are about as absorbent as a tea bag.
They're just the wee just floats in them, doesn't it? They don't absorb. But yeah, it's just those little niggly comments that you make. And actually, I'm just like, let's just have a big old row and then a shag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Clemmy Hooper's advice for you all. You'll have that
not
for free.
Not marriage advice.
Have that for free. Clemmy, it's been so lovely having our fanny chat.
Yes.
And everyone listening, I will put the link to Clemmy's blog and, well, when her podcast is out, we will let you know when it's there. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, one of the things I thought was really good about that, well, there were many things, but one was the advice on going away to a hotel to try and get some jiggy biggy time in. But I was trying to think, not everyone can afford that, can they? So what could we do? What can we do to sort of set aside a bit of time?
My advice would be to be creative about the time of day that you have sex, because it doesn't always have to be at night. And actually at night, sometimes if you've had a big meal, a few drinks, you've had a long day, you've probably woken up at 5:30 with kids. So by the time you get to, you know, when you put your head on the pillow, that's it. It's snoozy time and not sexy time. I think if you could take the kids, if you can foist the kids on a relative or a childminder, and I mean, there's apps, isn't there? Like Bubble. I think you can get a babysitter for like £10 an hour. Get a babysitter for a couple of hours and have sex in the day. What's wrong with that?
I think that's a good idea. And actually, we did speak to somebody at an event that we did. I won't name her, but I remember her saying that because her husband worked at home and her kids were at school then, they were quite a big fan of having afternoon sex and they had a really healthy sex life. And because I said to her, she had quite a few children, and I was like, how the hell do you fit that in? And she was like, well, you know, if my husband's home, we'll just disappear, you know, for half an hour. And like you discussed that in the interview, that sometimes actually those kind of liaisons in the day or in the morning are actually more fun, and actually probably more the kind of thing that you used to do when you first met, because you were always having sex at different times and it wasn't always in the same place in the bed, you know.
Kids in bed, this is the other one. Kids in bed, oven on, sometime in bedroom to have sex, and then come down, put the pizza in the oven, and then chill.
Well, my friend used to do this thing where she said they would order a Domino's pizza and in the time that it took for the pizza to arrive, they would have had had sex.
The race is on.
So, I mean, obviously that can be like 10 minutes. but that kind of, that adds the sort of frisson, especially if you've got Deliveroo actually, because you can actually track how close they are.
Yeah, Deliveroo,
and then try
have...
and match your kind of, your sex to, you know, oh wait, he's got another 2 seconds and then he's going to be knocking on the door.
Yeah, yeah. There should be a little alarm bell to like a 5 minute warning, a kind of wrap it up guys, wrap it up. Yeah. Love that idea. So I loved that interview. I loved talking to Clemmy. You can follow her at Mother of Daughters. You probably already are following her, to be fair, because she's probably got most of the internet already following her. And we didn't actually say that Anarchy's baby is very lovely and very sweet. And she isn't here with us today, but she probably will be in the background at some point, chomping on a bottle. But she's really gorgeous, and well done, Anarchy. And 12 weeks in and you're here recording a podcast, and we're not saying that that's an example or a benchmark for anyone at home, because actually it's a pretty bad idea really, but thank you and I appreciate you being here.
Thank you
and thank you for listening. Next week, I mean, we've got a really exciting series. Next week we are interviewing an actual movie star.
I know, I can't believe it actually. I think it's probably the coup of all time. And have you actually, are you going to say who it is now?
No, I'm going to tease it.
Can you do at least the initials so that people could guess?
R-M. R-M.
So is it, let me try and guess. So it's not Richard Madeley?
No? Oh, might be. Is he an actual movie star? I don't know. We'll have to check IMDb.
I'm trying to think of anyone else.
But we've got an actual movie star next week. The week after, we've got a live episode, which was recorded on Galentine's Day at White City House. And we talk all about self-love, masturbation, self-care, periods,
the whole
cancer.
Caboodle.
We've got amazing guests. We've got Bow Babe. We've got Nadia from Appointment AM, Dr. Karen Gurney, and Karen Hobbs, the comedian from The Eve Appeal. So that one is episode 3. And further on in the series, we talk to the slum flower, who is Chidera Aguera. I don't think that's how you pronounce her surname. But we've got the slum flower.
I thought you'd done really well then.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I like the way that name sounds, and more. So please subscribe and listen to us week in, week out.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed our episode. We can't get by on little crumbs, though, so please do like, subscribe, and write a review. Only write a review if it's a nice one, though. Don't bother if you hate it, and don't listen to us anymore, I guess. And yes, please do, because it makes a huge difference, and thanks a lot. Bye!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.